Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Martin Luther King long weekend. So I'm always looking for cool information to share with y'all, and I stumbled upon a fascinating chart by Deutsche Bank highlighting that more families than ever before have zero or negative non-home wealth. In other words, in the chart, it says that roughly 30% of households have no 401k, no IRA, no after-tax investment account, no private equity investments, no venture debt investments, no nothing beyond the value of their primary residence. Pretty crazy, right? So this survey is done every 3 years, and in 2013, the percentage looks like 28.5%. So it's risen ever since 2001, when the percentage was about 25.5%. So this is really odd in my mind, because we've had a really strong recovery since about 2010, but really more like 2012 when the previous highs were breached. And I just don't understand, if you have no investments outside your primary residence, how the hell are you going to survive in retirement? I mean, if you look at Social Security, the average Social Security check is $1,200 a month. And I don't think that's going to be able to cover your healthcare costs alone, let alone food, going out, traveling, like living a nice golden retirement years. And if you were fortunate enough to have worked for 40 years and paid the maximum FICA tax each year, the max you could collect on Social Security in today's dollars is $2,700 a month. That's not bad if you have a paid-off house, but it's not like you're balling it up or anything at all. And the reason why the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009 was so severe was because the vast majority of Americans, 80+% on many accounts, had the majority of their net worth locked up in their primary residence. And so, hey, if the housing market goes, so does the wealth of America. 64% of Americans own homes, and the others are, let's say they are underage, teenagers, whatnot, or just still too young to be able to afford a house. But they're gonna get there, hopefully. So I'm trying to think of the reasons why the percentage of people with no wealth outside the primary residence keeps on going up despite the market, in the stock market and the real estate market and everything else, frankly, going up as well. So I can think about maybe three or four reasons. So the first reason is a runaway train. So after the economy started settling down in 2010, the typical American, I think, was just thankful that they still had a job or that they were still solvent after the worst financial crisis in modern times. I mean, I just remember everybody getting blown up left and right in 2008 and 2009. I think my firm went through 7 rounds of layoffs every year. And then even in 2010, we were still going through like 3 rounds of layoffs. And then it was just layoffs after layoffs. Everybody knew someone who got laid off, unless they were laid off themselves. So, it was pretty devastating. So by the time things started settling and things started recovering starting in 2012, I don't know, things just really started taking off. And then by that time, prices were back to sky-high valuations. And you're just like, man, I don't want to get back in so soon. We just got through a ridiculously overvalued market and lost 35 to 50% of our net worth or investments. Why on earth am I going to jump right back in? So I think it's like a runaway train. It just goes out and you just miss it, and then you're just stuck holding cash. The other thought process is that a lot of people think, well, why bother saving and investing so long and so much only to lose your money so quickly in what seems like a casino? The stock market, it provides no utility. It's just digits on the screen, and you hope that you're going to get paid out one day. So a lot of people are like, well, instead of saving and investing, why don't we just spend our money on things that actually will last a long time? So maybe cars, and then also experiences like vacations, trips, and whatnot. I mean, I definitely had that mentality when, I was losing money. I was like, man, I should just spend it and enjoy life instead of trying to invest for the future, because the future is never going to come at this pace. I remember consulting for a fintech company a couple of years ago. And, this is a fintech company that helps people invest more frugally. Their trades are much cheaper than everybody else. I don't want to name them. But the person I worked with, she was, 29, 30 years old. She had 60 to 70% of her net worth in cash. And it was the same for like 3 or 4 other millennial folks, basically people under 35 years old. they were just, you know, look, I'm going to spend my money and enjoy life because I don't really trust the market. All right, the third reason, I think people just don't know what to invest in. You know, it's kind of sad because there's, you know, the TV, there's the internet, podcasts, personal finance blogs like mine, and we talk about investing all the time, and it's not that complicated. The main thing you need is exposure to stocks, exposure to bonds and real estate and so forth, right? And you can gain that exposure through index investing, all these ETFs, low cost. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you open an investment account, you open a 401k, IRA, all that stuff. But it just seems like people don't get it. And if anybody did get it starting in 2009 when I started Financial Samurai and they saved, you know, more than 20% of their after-tax income and after maxing out their 401k, and if they invested aggressively or, you know, just had a proper asset allocation of stocks and bonds, they would be much, much wealthier. So I don't know exactly why people have chosen to ignore all the advice and all the information out there that's readily available and free. But on the positive side, as a business owner, as an online business owner, hey, this knowledge hole makes me extremely bullish about Financial Samurai's future. But the one thing I do worry about is that, you know, I see a scenario where people might finally gain the confidence and knowledge to invest their hard-earned savings, only to see the stock market and real estate market start falling apart, given that we're like 9 years into this bull run, something like that. And then it's like back to the starting line again, and just lack of trust and lack of confidence in investing and so forth. And finally, real wages haven't kept up. We can't assign all the blame to lack of savings, lack of knowledge, lack of courage, fear, ignorance, and all that. You know, despite nominal income increasing over time, real median household income hasn't gone anywhere since the financial crisis. If you look at 2008, the adjusted median household income was about $59,000. And then by 2012, it dropped to about $54,000. So only now, in 2018, are we back to $59,345. This is real income. And so that means it took 10 years to get back to even. So if it's taken 10 years and everything else has become much more expensive in real terms, I mean, look at tuition costs for your kids, look at cars. I mean, they say it's deflationary, but I mean, cars, the median car price is now $34,000. I remember when the median car price was like $20,000 or $15,000, you can buy like a $10,000 junker, but hey, at least you can buy one. Now, like Corollas and Civics are like $20,000 to $22,000. Seems kind of ridiculous. So those are the four reasons why I think why more people than ever don't have any wealth outside the primary residence. But things could be worse. Things could be much worse, actually. The worst scenario is if you don't own your primary residence and you don't have any investments in stocks, REITs, and so forth, then you're really, really screwed. I want to make it clear, absolutely clear, that renting is equivalent to shorting the housing market. Why? Because you are a price taker. You are paying the rent as it rides the inflationary wave. Meanwhile, you're missing out on the principal appreciation of the housing stock if you ever were to want to buy. And for some very strange reason, people find shorting the housing market, i.e. renting, more palatable than shorting the stock market. I mean, just think, if you were shorting the stock market since like 2010, 2012, you would have got your face ripped off. I mean, you would be just crushed in terms of your returns. So in the post, you'll see a chart that includes some Canadian and American U.S. cities since 1998. And yes, there was a decline, obviously, in 2006, 7, 8, you know, but things have come back, and long term, it's just like the stock market, up and to the right. So I really hope by now that there is no debate between owning versus renting. If you know where you plan to live for the long term, it's best to stay at least neutral inflation by owning your primary residence. You're only really long real estate if you own two or more properties. I'm really hoping that a large majority of you folks own investments outside your primary residence. And you can rent, that's fine, especially if you're not ready to settle down. Just know that if you don't invest your savings, you are going to be left behind over the long run due to inflation, due to earnings growth, due to valuation growth, and so forth. You don't want to end up like those folks who become very, very angry and bitter at the system because they failed to save and invest appropriately. I encourage you guys to keep on reading Financial Samurai. Keep on listening to this podcast for at least the reason that you'll be more knowledgeable of what's going on in the world and to get motivated to get your finances correct and learn. Because ignorance is not an excuse anymore, because all this information is free, and the more you can stay on top of your finances, the better they will be going forward. So I want to hear from you guys. Do you own any investments outside your primary residence? Why do you think the percentage of people who own no wealth outside the primary residence has reached all-time highs? And why do you think people still believe renting their entire lives is the better way to build wealth? Love to hear from y'all. Thanks.